It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I am Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this gloriously beautiful Northeast Florida Saturday, having a wonderful time, as always. And I'm glad you could all join us. All the regulars, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, maybe just coming into town for tournament week or something like that, then try to stick around for the hour. We always promise you'll learn something or other, and hopefully it'll be useful. Speaking of tournament week, for this next week, I always do this. I'd like to caution people that there's going to be a lot of people in here from out of town, and they brought their oversized American Express cards. So let them drive around, even if they're a little hesitant here and there. Try to be nice to them because they're going to spend so much money. It makes this place a better place to live. So show them a little local decency, I'd say. Based on my drive in Butler today, it's not going to be a real good traffic week. Got it, people. What's the real speed limit out there, huh?
Well, as long as you're not in Ponte Vedra, it should be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, they've handled traffic better the last few years than they ever did before.
They changed the entrances and exits to the parking, and I think it's made it really somewhat better. Yeah. We haven't had any problems getting in or out.
Of course, we haven't had a really big crowd for a while, but
also true.
This one hopefully will.
This one should be.
Wasn't it amazing?
Really big crowd.
This week, how at the absolute perfect day on Tuesday, science said it's over.
It was a state of the union miracle.
It was indeed.
Said. Yeah.
Just how lucky can we be?
That science is really something.
It was also the only good thing about Tuesday, if you read about or listened to the speech, but that's another story. And it does affect all of you right square in the pocketbook.
At the pump, yeah.
Your money is being taken from you in record amounts when you fill up your tank.
And being given to Russia.
Yeah. And Iran.
So good policy.
You know, the market is suffering from international and local jitters. Now, it's not just what Putin's doing. It's what we're not doing.
Yeah, it's true. It's a combination effect. The uncertainty around the Ukraine situation is definitely contributing to it. The net result was the Dow and the S&P were down 1.3%. The NASDAQ was down 2.8%. There's that. We've got a almost mandatory Fed rate hike cycle starting next week, roughly.
But Powell did something that's never been done before.
Yeah, he signaled that. Well, he said going to do a 25-point rate.
And he said it in understandable English.
He did.
It's almost like he forgot his native tongue of Fed speak.
And the importance of that was that there had been a lot of talk about starting off with a 50-point rate hike, and he took that off the table. And it had already been removed by the markets that no one was really thinking that was going to happen.
And by the way, don't misconstrue what I say about Powell to be a complaint. I think he did the right thing.
I agree. In general, he's been a decent Fed chair, but
almost a welcome relief after the last couple.
Yeah, definitely. So that was important. The market liked that. It actually went up on that news. Mm-hmm. So
big.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
Big day. I think the biggest day in over a year, I believe. So the fact that the market was still down and had that in the middle shows you what happened on the other days. It was pretty ugly, a lot of volatility.
But it also tells you a little bit about why you can't time the market. If you got out, you'd have probably gotten out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you missed Wednesday.
Right.
And you without Wednesday, you got nothing.
Well, there's no telling when this will end, but
it will.
It will. It will. And it will end suddenly. And if you get out now, you're guaranteeing a loss of about 3,000 points on the Dow and 20% or so on the NASDAQ. And you're going to miss the upswing because even during the upswing, there will be big down days.
Sure.
That's how it works. It never goes the way you think it will go. And the other thing about this current situation is that it's trading on political news. Because if you look at the economic data this week, you would scream buy right
now.
No kidding. It was fantastic across the board, pretty much. And I'll get into that a little bit. But The jobs reports were really strong that we had. And then the revisions to previous months on the jobs reports were even better than the jobs reports.
That requires some explanation.
It does. And then if you looked at the ISM reports, manufacturing and services, both showed a growing economy in February. I mean, honestly, the economic data you're not hearing about right now is really, really good. It's kind of just one of those situations where Ukraine is overshadowing everything. Inflation is overshadowing everything.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
Nope. And so while this is still going on, the market is going to remain in this sort of I don't know what to do mode. And usually during those times, it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of wondering what the economic impact of this war and the sanctions will be on Russia, it's pretty severe. The estimate is that their GDP will decline by 20 to 30% in the first quarter. And judging by the condition of their military, Russia was not in great financial shape prior to this because there's a lot of reports coming out of Ukraine that they're undersupplied, they're poorly trained, their tanks are breaking down on the road, being abandoned. It wasn't in great shape, and this is really going to hurt. The current price of oil is somewhat bolstering their economy, but there are signs that companies that buy oil are avoiding the Russian market. Russian oil is selling for about $18 a barrel less than Brent crude. So that's a pretty big delta on, yep. I mean, if you're in the oil market and you see one costs $110 and the other one costs $92, which one are you going to want to buy? Yeah. But they're not doing it. And there's a lot of banks that are not they're not writing letters of credit to secure Russian oil transactions because of the aggression. And so you just can't even do a transaction with a Russian oil company right now, even if you want to. So it's really, really going to hurt them. Russia accounts for 12% of the world's oil production, and that's why we're seeing prices skyrocket right now, because that essentially has been removed from the worldwide supply. And then combine that with our own inaction, it's going to be that the oil prices are going to hurt for a while.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have the answer. We just refuse to use it.
Right. Well, you know what the White House says? Use less of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got news for you, White House. We are.
Yeah.
It's automatic when gas is that expensive. We'll use less of it. If you do your part, we'd go back to $50.
And how much do you think the American people like the option of using less of it? Probably
I would guess none. Somewhere between 0 and -2%.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So even some wealthy Russian citizens have started to speak out against the war as they're seeing their overseas assets get seized for no other reason than them being Russian.
Yeah, you can round up on the value of the ruble and you get a penny.
Yeah, and their savings that are in Russia are collapsing. So this is not going. I mean, if you're wondering if these sanctions are working, I would say yes, except that Putin doesn't care.
Exactly. And how mad is the madman of Russia? No one knows.
Pretty mad, yet. It seems like.
It seems, and I don't mean angry. I mean mad.
Yeah.
The
really unfortunate part of this, average citizens in Russia who have nothing to do with this are the ones that are going to get hurt the most, and that's always the case.
Always the case, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know where it's going to end, but it isn't going to end pretty.
No.
They already took care of one city, pretty much leveling it, and I don't see anything that's going to make them stop. Short of his own people.
So yeah.
It is kind of scary. What would I do about it as an investor? Sit back, make some popcorn, and watch.
Ride it out.
All right. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. Otherwise, we will just keep talking about what we want to talk about, but if you want to change the subject, it's up to you. Pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll put you on immediately, and we'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind today. Our trivia question for the day, sponsored as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. This is a bit of an odd one, but as always, I have a point, and it has to do with Starbucks. Now, everybody knows that Starbucks is a pretty big outfit, right? In fact, it has 9,000 U.S. locations. Well, a while back in Buffalo, and this week again in, I think it was New Mexico, the employees decided to vote for having a union, which is, if you have ever dealt with union shops, as I have for way too many decades, you understand is not something that the management really wants to hear. Now, the weird question I have for you is, how many Starbucks locations are already unionized? And I will guarantee you, you'll be surprised by that.
Okay.
All right, back to what's going on. We need to cover the jobs report, and we need to explain some things that were, Adam and I spent the break talking about irresponsibility, and this is going to lead right into it. So take it away.
Yeah, so when it comes to irresponsible reporting, there's no shortage of it these days, but ADP, the company that we generally really like their report, they seem to do a good job with it. It's very accurate because they have the actual data from their own clients. So it's usually a really good report. Last month, they showed that January lost 301,000 jobs in
the market. And if you were listening to the show a month ago and listening to us, we were as confused as could be, and basically our conclusion was
that's
something's
not right.
Wrong.
Yeah, and then so that report's always released on the first
Wednesday.
First Wednesday of the month, and then the jobs, the government BLS numbers come in on Friday. And so once we saw the Wednesday numbers, we got a little worried about the Friday numbers, as did everybody else. But the Friday numbers look great. The government report was very strong. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was northward of 600,000 or
something.
It was a really good report.
It was good.
Yeah. And so it just didn't match up. And I always say follow a 3-month moving average for these reports, because one report is a snapshot. You need to know what the trend is. But that negative 300,000 just didn't make any sense. Well, we were right. This month, they released their report. They showed a solid gain of 475,000 jobs. That was for February.
That's all private sector.
But that wasn't, and that's a great report. But the real story here was that they revised the January report up to plus 509,000 jobs. That's an 800,000 job.
Yeah, I think it was 810,000.
Insane.
That is the height of irresponsibility when people make decisions based partly on your data.
People trade stocks based on this data. People make decisions about hiring and firing and corporate strategy. Yep. That's terrible.
It is. And it needs to be addressed at the corporate level. They have to do something to avoid that.
I mean, that people should lose their jobs over that number. That was bad.
Yeah, I related it to some irresponsible reporting this week, when the incident at the power plant happened, and some of the reporters were saying there's already reports that of elevated levels of radiation are in the area. And that is the absolute height of irresponsibility. Also, what the media is coming to is just the beginning of a sentence that you all can finish for yourselves. Yes. And you know exactly how we feel.
It's crazy. It's hard to believe that people are in such a rush to get any information out that they will blatantly report false information, knowing that there's a 99% chance that it's false.
24/7, 365.
Unreal.
Got to fill up the time.
Yep, for sure. But so that being said, the jobs report also came out on Friday. It looked very good as well. And if you look at the economy right now, and specifically at the jobs numbers, they're nothing short of fantastic. We're definitely still in the recovery mode. It's just that the market is completely ignoring everything going on domestically and looking abroad and saying
people are coming back into the workforce, and why not? Because wages are up.
Yeah,
they didn't show a big gain for the month, but that's more conditional than anything, because a lot of new people were taking jobs, and a lot of the older people, another thing that we've been talking about for a long time, when the older people retire, they're the higher paid people. The new ones come in and it artificially depresses the wage increase. But it was very solid, and it was also solid at the household level. That backed up the establishment survey very well.
Yep. So if you're worried about the domestic economy, I would not be. I think that there are two things that are potentially hurting it. One being inflation. That's the obvious one. The second one being the way that we address inflation, which is rate hikes. So rate hikes can have an effect on a lot of things domestically. I think right now we can handle the rate hikes. We just can't over hike to a point where it really damages the economy.
Right. So yeah, I think that's the fear. You're going to start seeing the second that the Ukrainian thing is put to bed one way or the other, you're going to start seeing a lessening of the inflationary pressure in many sectors.
One area that has been a little bit encouraging is that for a few months before Ukraine, you were seeing futures drive the market higher, and then during the day, trading was driving the market lower. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're actually seeing the opposite. The futures are opening up severely negative. The market's opening up very negative. And then you're seeing the market trend higher during the day. That means that there's buyers stepping in during the day to snap up these equities at a discount. That's a trend that I like, although it's not enough to turn the market positive. It's making it less negative, if that makes sense. So
sometimes you win by losing less.
Yeah, it's true. But I do like that there are buyers coming in during the day and snapping things up because they are on such a sale right now relative to where they were a couple of months ago. So that's a positive trend. A little bit more about rate hikes. Some of the first countries we saw start doing rate hikes were emerging market countries like Mexico, Brazil, and South Africa. However, a few more developed countries are now joining that list. South Korea, the UK, and now Canada, as of this week, have joined central banks in raising interest rates. So we are not the only country feeling inflationary pressures right now. This is sort of a worldwide phenomenon. There are certain things that we're doing that are not making it any better here at home, but other countries are feeling this as well. Right now, the market's pricing in 6 rate hikes over the next 12 months. I think that might be on the aggressive side. I would say 4 to 5, but you never know. We'll see how it plays out. A lot can change between now and 12 months from now, so something to keep an eye on.
Historically, the Fed's track record with that sort of thing isn't that good. They get a little too aggressive.
They do.
And then they get a little too dovish.
Yeah, they overshoot, just like the market.
Yep.
We saw Target and Costco both report earnings for the fourth quarter this week. So now every report is in. The earnings per share beat rate dropped a bit down to 68%, which is still really good, but not great. So that's good news.
Right.
The revenue beat rate actually climbed up a bit to 74%, and that's excellent. A revenue beat rate, anything above...
Starting with a 7?
Yeah, anything above the 50s really is excellent. So 74 is kind of off the charts good.
Yep.
And the best news really is that forward guidance continues to get raised at a pretty high rate of 14%. Yep. Well, guidance cuts have accelerated up to 9%, but that spread is really what you want to look at, and that's still over 5%. So that's very encouraging going into quarter one earnings season, which starts in about a month.
Yep, I think that's all basically good news, and that the Fed will be perfectly justified in raising rates. As Adam said earlier, it's already priced into the market. I don't think there's any panic attacks coming when he actually stands up.
You're going to see volatility. Oh, yeah. You're going to see a big up day and a big down day around the announcement, but that's standard.
They do that when they speak Fed speak,
mm-hmm.
anytime it works. So all in all, I'm still optimistic. It's got that big cloud over it about Ukraine. I don't know how that's going to end up, but you know it will end.
It will, and trading on short-term political news is a bad idea. It really is. That is not how the market is designed to work, nor does it work like that in the long run. It always does it in the short term, but in the long run, it's earnings and economic data that drive the market, not Ukrainian and Russian wars.
Yeah, and if you want some really good news, you'll note that on Tuesday, Joe Biden morphed into Donald Trump.
There was a lot of Republican ideas in that speech, which is crazy.
And they got really good responses.
They did.
Of course, they're all lies, but hey.
It was kind of bizarre.
It really was.
I don't know.
There's a lot of bizarre world going on out there, and a lot of it is economics. But it's still nothing that we can see that would make us want to change our ways and suggest that everybody panic.
No. I mean, I would like to see our energy policy change, and that's not going to happen. But that's the easiest short-term fix to this situation.
Counting the days till November, aren't we?
It's still not going to change, but
it'll stop getting worse, hopefully.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And maybe even if there's enough pain at the ballot box for the Biden party, then perhaps
we will
that
see
will
some, maybe
ease
may,
things a little
I,
bit.
I put that in the unlikely category, but you never know.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to bet on it right at this point.
No.
But the odds are very good that things will be better and things will get better. But we're going to need patience, and you're going to have to ride the volatility wave because it is here. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm going to review the trivia question before we take a phone call. Out of Starbucks, 9,000 U.S. locations, how many of them are already unionized? Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'd like to guess on the trivia.
Good. Take a shot.
One.
You're too low. Way too low.
Okay.
That's why I said there was a surprise coming.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, Bruce. I thought it was, I thought this was one of the first ones to go, but apparently
there is wrong. There is an explanation, and you have to listen all the way to the end of the show, probably.
I think
to
I
get
might
it.
Know what it is. But yeah, yeah.
Could be.
I'll be there.
All right, well, we appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Take care. Okay, so now I just gave a clue out to everybody, thanks to Bruce.
Yep.
You're way too low. Ring, ring away, and you never know. It maybe take some of Ken Bale's money, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. All right. It's inevitable when there's a problem in the world that the scams start on your telephones and your emails and social media, and it has begun. So here's some of the common scams from the Russia-Ukraine war. Number one, and this is one of my favorite topics because it just keeps happening, called the help, I'm stuck here, I'm your grandchild, that kind of thing. Excuse me. And you're supposed to send money. It's loosely referred to as the grandparent scam, and it hits a particular note with me because of an incident we had many, many years ago with a client. And most of you have been on the internet long enough to know what the Nigerian scam is. I've got all kinds of money, and I need a bank account to put it in. So if you'll help me out, you get to keep X amount, that kind of thing. I got an email one day a few years ago from a client, supposedly, and it said, I am stuck in Africa. I'm out of money. The airport burned down, and my bank was sold. Can you send money? Now, what does that remind you of? So we have a caller. I'm going to let you simmer on that story for a little bit. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
I am doing well. So I was calling A, to guess the trivia question, and B, to ask y'all's advice for someone about to take the CFP exam.
I would give you all kinds of advice, but you wouldn't like it.
Oh, yeah?
No, but Adam will. He took it since I did. All right, what's your trivia guess?
I'm thinking around 100.
And I'm thinking you're way too low.
Wow.
I know. It's surprising, isn't it? But you have narrowed the gap. It's now between 100 and 9,000. So practically a target range, right?
Pretty all much. Right. Well, yeah.
You know, I tell you something briefly before we get into that. There's been a recent study that studied actually how clients respond to different financial advisors by race, by sex, so on and so forth. And of course, they were probably trying to do something like make a point. And much to their shock, race didn't have a thing to do with it. Competence did. But there was one little leaning factor in there that a lot of people prefer dealing with women. They think they're more logical and more responsive and that kind of thing. But even that was minor. But, you know, we've been pushing on this show for a long time to get more and more people involved in the field, as you are about to do. Megan's taking her test next Friday, and if she passes that, have you met Experience yet, or is it a little while from now?
No, I won't meet Experience for probably another year-ish.
Yeah, but you're okay. You're close. It's but, 3 years, so you're not far off.
Well, we all know when you passed it, the hard work is done. The rest of it is just showing up as... Who was it? Casey Stengel or somebody said. Anyway, if you're about to take the exam, and for people who haven't done it, it's a bear.
Yeah.
Ask a lawyer what it's like to take the bar exam. Ask a CFP what it's like. You're going to get the same type answers. So with that, I'll let Adam carry on.
Yeah. Well, I do have to tell you, they did take away the two-day test and make it a one-day test. So that helps a little bit. It doesn't make that much easier, but it mentally, you don't have to go at home and sleep and think about how bad you did and then go back the next day. And
that was not easy.
That was not easy. No, that night was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
But they also don't make you wait 6 weeks to get your response in
actually,
the mail either.
In Megan's case, they do. So
do they?
She normally now you can get your exam results basically right away, but once every year, is that right, Megan? They
I think it's
different.
Every 3 years.
Every 3 years. They have one test.
Where they test the questions?
Where they test the questions. Uh-huh. So in her case, she is signed up for that test. So there's going to be questions on there that they're going to throw out, and you won't know which ones they are. But usually they're the really, really hard ones or the really, really easy ones. So they'll take a look at the results, see how people did, and the questions that everybody missed, they'll probably throw out. So. So I don't know if that makes it better or worse, Megan.
I don't know either. I'm just going to go in there and do what I can.
Yeah, and that's really all you can do. I would say that if you are taking the CFP exam, one thing that you've done that will give you a leg up is take the Ken Zahn class or some other comprehensive review class. Megan did a four-day intensive, really intensive class that my dad and I both did before we took ours and passed. So I feel like that gave us a leg up. And hopefully it will for you too. I think other than that, just spend this week cramming as much as possible into your brain and try and get a regular schedule, enough sleep, and don't just, I know it sounds silly, but just try not to stress too much because you're either, at this point, you're either prepared or you're not prepared, and the results are going to be what they are. So the more you stress about it, the less good you're doing yourself.
Yeah. Don't get in your own way by overthinking. That's the problem. And I don't know about anybody else out there, but when I'm on a big test or something like that, I go through the whole thing so I know everything that's covered on it. And then I answer on the way all the ones that I'm absolutely confident about, but none of the others. And then you go back and start dealing with the ones that require some thought or calculation or anything like that. The first thing you really want to do is get all the, quote, freebies, all the ones that are right on top of your mind. If you lose one of those, then you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yep. And then also don't spend your time. If there's a question that you get to that it's a topic that you have not covered at all, just take a wild guess and move on because there's no point spending time on a question that you legitimately have no idea, have never heard of the subject matter. Just forget about it.
It's still not like the SAT where they penalize you for a wrong answer, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So you probably have a 25% chance of getting it right, 20 or 25 based on how many.
Well, my wife would tell you that you always pick C if you're in doubt.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually what the Ken Zahn program said.
I think I did hear that from him too.
To the end.
Yep.
It's a long time ago for me.
If it's an ABCD choice, you have like a 26% chance of being right. If it's C, something like that. So,
and you can do even better than that if you can rule out one of them.
Right.
Multiple choice is very important to rule out one of them.
That's right. So, I just don't spend a lot of time and don't beat yourself up over something that you have no shot at getting right. Just move on and accept that you may miss that one question, but there's still hundreds of others that you might get right. So.
And for anybody who's listening and wondering what the heck we're talking about, the CFP is the Certified Financial Planner designation, which Adam and I have and Megan will one day have. And it is a wonderful way of life. It's a great job. It's all kinds of fun. It sounds scary getting into it, and that's partly because it is.
Yep,
it's hard.
The good thing is once you're done with it, you're done for good.
Right.
And you'll be joining us on the radio more, and you'll be joining us in client meetings. So a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, it truly is a wonderful life. If you've got any kids out there, or if you have any friends, or if you're a kid yourself looking for what to do, you have to love math, people, and money. And if you love those three things, it's just a really, really fun way to make a living while you're doing a lot of good teaching people how to not get in trouble, make more money, all those things that we all care about. And I'm sure Megan will do it very well. Very well. All right, we got to run. I will see you soon. Thanks for the call. It's not something for the faint of heart, perhaps, but it's really a nice way to live. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I was continuing. Oh, by the way, trivia question still open, 904-222-8255. We know that 100 is too low and 9,000 is too high, and that's about all we know. Anyway, I was talking about having a correspondence supposedly from a client in Africa at the time, and it was during the time when the Nigerian scam was hitting everybody's computers like crazy. So after I got done kind of wondering and laughing, I wrote back and said, okay, here's what I know. The airport did burn down in Nairobi, and the what's the name of it? Progressive, not Progressive, the bank that was really big in St. Augustine.
Yeah,
I can't remember. They had been just sold out, and they were in a 2-week transition phase, and people who worked there were either hard to find or impossible to find. So all of that was fine. And I said, tell me something only you would know. And she wrote back something about an animal we used to have that no one would know, and I'm certainly not going to tell you because then everyone would know it.
Mm-hmm.
But that told me that this was for real, and I got a kick out of that. But don't fall for the I'm stuck here thing, anybody. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
How's things?
Things are okay, although I want to tell people that Adam is very astute about jumping to buy stocks. There's music playing for some reason.
I don't hear it.
No, I don't either.
Yeah,
not sure what's going on.
But in any case,
you're loud
I
and
wanted
clear
to say
here.
That Adam is very astute and about warning people about reacting and buying stocks during geopolitical events. I bought some Gazprom the other day.
Probably got a pretty good deal, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I bought it at 350. It's frozen now at 110. Ameritrade, I'm sure other brokerages
in
the United States
mm-hmm.
have done the same thing. They've froze these type of investments. And before anybody thinks it was a terrible move, I'm reminded by Burton Merkiel, who once said, you buy when there's blood in the street.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah. It's just too bad you can't double down at 150.
No kidding.
Yeah, I can't double down right now because Ameritrade has suspended everything.
Right.
Just to be quick about this, I did buy a little earlier on the other end, on the patriotic end, when the 9-1-1 happened.
Mm.
So Adam, you're very right about what you say about reacting to geopolitical events.
Yeah, and there will be money to be made in this retreat, in this pullback, in this this whatever you want to call it. If it becomes a bear market, it is on the NASDAQ already, but there will definitely be money to be made. But you have to be able to buy and hold and wait it out, because you do not know when this thing's going to turn around, and you don't know where. You don't know how low it'll get before it will. And so, but the thing is, there will be up weeks in between the down weeks. We saw last week, everything but the Dow was up, and the Dow was only off 20 points. So, that's just how it's going to go. And the market, It reacts differently to everything, but in a lot of ways, it's exactly the same every time. Mm-hmm. So you just have to have a strong constitution and be able to wait.
The biggest mistake of an investor can make is try to find.
Anyhow, I'm going to give a shot if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Of course. I'm going to say there's approximately 8,000 Starbucks that are unionized.
That is a little too high, but you have again narrowed the gap.
Very good. Okay, gentlemen, have a great weekend, and thanks again for a great show.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Yeah, the worst mistake you can make now is trying to figure out what day it's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because then if it goes up the next day, you'll know you missed the bottom, so you won't do anything, although it might just drop down the next day. You've got to make a commitment, and I would not commit that I'm just going to make a gigantic purchase on any one day if you've got money on the sidelines, but start nibbling around the edges and see where the bottom turns out.
It's very possible we may have already seen the bottom.
Very possible.
We don't know. There's no way to tell.
Oh, you know, there was a ceasefire in Ukraine announced, and of course it was violated immediately. But that's the kind of news that can trigger a quick reversal. Okay, we got a ceasefire.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they didn't honor the ceasefire, so then it goes back down.
But maybe they will the next time.
Maybe they will.
I don't know. Especially when there's a madman involved, like Putin's acting right now. I mean, how can you predict what's going
to
happen?
It would be so much fun to impute logic on the situation.
But the question, the question I keep asking myself is Apple going to sell less iPhones in 2022 because of this Ukrainian conflict?
Well, they aren't selling in Russia right now.
So yeah,
but that's 2% of their sales.
Exactly. So are their margins going to be eroded? And the answer to that is also maybe a little, but not a tremendous amount. Do we need to be down 20% on the NASDAQ right now because of this event in Ukraine? I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
I think it's a bit of a stretch, absolutely. All right, back to some of the other scams. We need your support now more than ever. This is what you might call the GoFundMe pages that might prove to be, shall we say, scam pages.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do any giving through a GoFundMe page.
Well, you shouldn't be using GoFundMe, period.
Absolutely. But they have proven themselves to be completely untrustworthy. And if you want to go to a website to find a company that can help or something like that, you go directly to that URL.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever follow a link to something to give money, and you'll be far better off. Then number three is, but it looks and sounds so real. They have the perfect logos and all that, but a couple of things you might want to look at, there's often little keys like misspellings and so on these scam sites. So don't fall for that either. The number four was the old Nigerian thing. I have lots of money, and now they're coming out of Ukraine and Russia and all that. Same thing. You treat them the same way you treat the Nigerian scam. Just avoid it like the plague. I can show you how to time the market is number five. Just what we've been talking about. Somebody tells you that they can help you time the market. Don't walk. Run,
yeah.
And then there's number six. Oh, if I could just give my loved one a proper burial, the heartbreak scam, that is. So you just send me a few bucks and, you know, we can take care of this. Number seven, I'm defending your freedom. That's the nationalism one. So everybody is out there supposedly helping Americans by doing whatever they're doing. No. Then there's the threat. Number eight. Do as I say or else, or we're going to freeze your credit, or we're going to do this or do that to you, or somebody's going to come out to your house, somebody named Vinny. Just ignore it. Number nine, it looks so legit. Okay, so if you are on get in one of these like Waze and Gas Buddy and that kind of thing, if somebody comes in pretending to be them, you go there if you want to go there. Don't follow a link to something that they say is there. And then there's number 10 is the love and affection. I will love you till the end of time if you will just send me some money so I can get out of there and come over to see you. Don't fall for that either. So, you know, people, it's as certain, it follows as night to day. When something like this goes on in the world, these people come out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if they would just put all their computer talents and so on to productive use.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It would be a real kick. Yeah,
these things must be pretty lucrative to be able to
gotta be.
Keep them out of the workforce.
You wouldn't keep doing it if you weren't making any money.
But it always just baffles me who gets an email from a random account, stranger, and then sends money to them. I don't understand it.
I will never understand it. All right, and then next one is from one of my favorite characters, Senator Ron Wyden from the uber liberal party wing in Oregon.
He is good for a laugh or two usually.
He always is. Now, he's got six economic actions to take against Russia. He's going to fix it, right?
Okay.
Number one, support the IRS Criminal Investigations Unit. Because...
Wait, what?
The Criminal Investigation Units. I can't quite figure out how that's going to solve the Russia problem.
That makes no sense.
Number two, ensure that the tariff treatment of Russia reflects its pariah status. Three, tighten anti-money laundering rules. Ensure the Treasury Department is funded. Increase scrutiny of the oligarchs and support an agency tax force. Every single one of those is a power grab by the U.S. I think I could probably do a little bit better job. All right, 3,500 Starbucks are unionized for the reason that they exist in hotels and resorts,
airports,
and that sort of thing, airports. Yeah. And those employees are already unionized. So when Starbucks moves a place in there, they inherit the union status of their employees. That is something I would never have thought of.
That's a third of their total stores.
Yeah, and now it's going to get a little bit worse, but not that fast. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Benway Financial Hour.